Welcome to Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock, right here in the middle of summer. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, the weekly radio show that offers you interviews and reflection upon the words of poets and pundits and prognosticators, people who care about technology, about creativity, about your community, all of that right here on Wednesday afternoons. This week, for instance, I've got Misha Kaczynski-Erickson here in the studio. She's a graduate of the UC Davis Masters in Creative Writing program, and she'll be giving a reading tonight with Chris Whitey Erickson at Bistro 33, 226 F Street, at 8 p.m. as part of the Poetry Night reading series. That's tonight, July 7th at 8 p.m., right here in the city of Davis in the old City Hall building. Misha's here in the studio, and we're going to hear some samples of her poetry in the first half hour of the program. And then, in the second half hour, we will be joined by the editor of the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review, Scott Evans. Scott's the founder and editor of this Davis magazine that publishes fiction, poetry, murder mystery, and lots of beautiful art. He teaches at University of the Pacific, and he's a longtime Davis resident and literary booster. Two great stalwarts of the Davis literary scene, one radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back after some Art Tatum. Thanks, Art Tatum, for starting us off today. This is from Classic Early Solos, 1934 to 1937. This piece is just about to end. Let's hear how he finishes. It was said of Art Tatum, largely blind from birth, that his mother, when he was very young, gave him a piano roll to listen to so that he could have some inspiration while sitting at the family piano. Nobody told Art Tatum that it was actually two people playing on that piano roll instead of one. And as a result, Art Tatum is the only person, really, that I know of in the history of jazz who can play a piano as if he were two people, sometimes three. These are some of the facts that I've been learning on PBS recently while watching, again, that great Ken Burns documentary called Jazz. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, welcoming you and welcoming my first guest this afternoon. Misha Kosinski-Erickson is a graduate of the UC Davis Masters in Creative Writing Program, and she also holds a BFA from the University of Utah in Studio Art, which means that she can illustrate her own books. A finalist for the 2009 Ruth Lilly Poetry Fellowship, she has had her work featured in the American Poetry Review, Foursquare, and Gigantic. She has completed two books of poetry, Wait and Baby, and she'll be reading her work tonight at Bistro 33, 226 F Street at 8 o'clock as part of the Poetry Night reading series. Misha Erickson, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
Good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
I'm looking forward to hearing you co-feature tonight with that nutty Chris Whitey Erickson.
Yes,
nutty. Who people know and love when they tune in to this radio show in about the third week of April every year, because he's my co-host, and I've got a big success streak going with that guy. He's my co-host right here at KDVS for our fundraiser shows.
He likes doing that.
I bet.
Yes.
And people like him because they give lots of money, I think mostly because they're thankful for the break from me at this hour, and so they're willing to pay for that. And Misha, you're going to be reading your poetry tonight.
Yes.
Tell people a little bit. Let's start with hubris, shall we? Why would people want to come see you read your poetry tonight at 8 o'clock at Bistro 33?
I don't know why they would do that, honestly. But some people will come, and they probably don't know why they'll be there either.
Right. Absolutely. So gutsy people, people who love risk.
Yes.
People who may not be on the straight road in life, but are ready for some pit stops.
Yes. Yeah, people who want to see Whitey, and they will watch me too if I'm there.
They will watch you, and I'm sure they'll be patient for Whitey. But Whitey's also a lot of fun. He's the master of the long pregnant pause these days.
Yes.
He's worked that into his routine. You've probably noticed this.
Yes, that's
Does he do that at home?
Yeah. There's a lot of that.
So you have to be very patient.
Yeah, that's okay though. You know, there's just two of us, so there's a lot of, you know, standing around staring at each other.
Right.
You know.
I can see that. I can empathize with that. All right, and what was it that drew you to poetry after your background in art? I know that you've got a BFA from University of Utah in studio art.
Yes.
How did you make the jump from art to poetry?
Well, I was writing the whole time anyways.
Uh-huh.
I started as an English major, but I couldn't really hack the theory courses. I've been writing since fourth grade is the first time I remember writing poetry, so...
So yeah. You've got quite a backlog then.
Yes.
And two unpublished books out, I understand.
Well, the second one isn't done yet, and I feel compelled to tell you that.
Right.
It's in the works. Neither of them are out.
Right. So one is called Wait, which is what mm-hmm. you're doing. And the second one is Baby.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
My next book of poetry, I'll say as an aside, also has a one-word title.
Oh.
I like one-word titles.
I do too.
It's Cages.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know if I should be, you know, revealing that before the book is actually published. But I like yours, Wait and Baby.
Yes.
Now, is there a connection between titles, or do you want to say anything about them separately?
That's a good question. There seems to be a lot of waiting in the first book, and so far there seems to be a lot of babies in the second one.
There you go. So thematically, the choices were pretty straightforward then for what you're going to title the books.
Well, the first book was hard to name.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should be talking about it as a book because it's not published, but I guess it's still a book.
Yeah. It's an unpublished manuscript.
It's an unpublished manuscript. So naming that one was really hard. That was the hardest part. But this one kind of, baby just kind of, I mean, it's full of babies, so there's no getting around it.
Did you see this movie called Babies?
I did.
I bet you liked it.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. It stuck with me.
And you saw that at the Varsity Theater here in the city of Davis?
Indeed.
Their new screens are so sharp. I don't know if you noticed a difference when they got all that new equipment in there.
Yeah, it's the best theater, I think.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Let me quickly add that the opinions expressed on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour are not necessarily those of KDVS, our underwriters, or the regents of the University of California at Davis. Misha Kozinski-Erickson is here in the studio, and we're talking about her life as a writer. So all the time you were doing art, you were also writing. What sort of art studio specialties did you have at University of Utah?
Photography was my main one, but I love to do watercolor. So
excellent.
Yeah.
And do you think you're going to be illustrating your own books, or maybe at least the title? Have you thought that far ahead?
I don't know. I think I'd like someone else to do it if I had the chance.
You'll have the chance, I'm sure.
That would be nice if someone else did it.
Yeah. One less thing to worry about.
Yeah.
All right, good. If you're just joining us, this is KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Misha Kozinski-Erickson is here, and she's going to be reading her poetry tonight with Whitey Erickson at Bistro 33 at 226 F Street. We are going to take a quick break to hear an important public service announcement from the Linux Users Group of Davis, and then when we return, I'm going to ask Misha to share with all of us a poem. This is KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org. Thank you.
That's Art Tatum in the background with a significantly less fuzzy track from Art Tatum, classic early solos. This one is called Emmeline. Let's hear the end of Emmeline. Misha Kuczynski Erickson is here in the studio, and we're talking about poetry. She's going to be reading tonight at Bistro 33's Poetry Night as part of the ongoing Poetry Night reading series. Accompanying her will be Chris Whitey Erickson. She's completed a manuscript of poetry, and she's working on another one, and she's placed poems in a bunch of reputable and impressive journals. Misha, I know from hearing you at poetry readings before that if I were to invite you to read a poem, you would do so, and then you'd probably have another one ready right there, because we'll have time to hear a bunch of your works in the time we have allotted.
Sure.
I'm wondering which one you have at the top of the pile.
Miscarriage.
Miscarriage. Let's hear it.
Okay. Last night, I dreamed my brother-in-law had a tiny penis. It is very likely that he has a large penis. He is a large man. But nothing will ever die inside of him.
Excellent. Let's hear another one.
Okay. This is Conversion. We went up into the mountain, pressed ourselves into the mountain until it grew around us. The dark lines in the rocks became our hands, our feet, our faces, which were finally still. This is what everyone wants.
That's very nice. I'm reminded with the mountain growing around something. It reminds me of that poem by Wallace Stevens that takes place in Tennessee. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I don't. The jar one?
Yes.
Oh, yes, the jar.
The jar in Tennessee. Let me share that with people. It's called Anecdote of the Jar. Probably many of you know it. By Wallace Stevens. I placed a jar in Tennessee, and round it was, upon a hill. It made the slovenly wilderness surround that hill. The wilderness rose up to it and sprawled around, no longer wild. The jar was round upon the ground, and tall, and of a port in air. It took dominion everywhere. The jar was gray and bare. It did not give of bird or bush, like nothing else in Tennessee. So hearing that poem and your wilderness poem in which you're also showing the mountain kind of moving more quickly than we'd expect a mountain to do, I'm wondering if nature or wilderness, if these are themes that come up in many of your poems.
Yes, they are.
What compels you to explore these themes?
I guess I just like nature. Mm-hmm. I find it very interesting. You know, there's lots to talk about.
Right?
Yeah.
And what's a favorite natural wonder, either locally or that you've seen in your life, that you want to draw people's attention to?
Oh, a natural wonder. I like tide pools a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know if that qualifies.
Yeah, that qualifies. So where, for instance?
Well, there were a lot that I used to go to in Southern California, and I just went to see some in Monterey.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And you'll be returning to Southern California towards the end of this month?
Yes.
Do you think that... do you imagine that the themes of your poems will change with that that change in geography and culture? Or do you feel that enough of your work is internal in terms of what you reflect upon that that there wouldn't be radical changes in your poetry's themes or subject matter or, say, look?
I think it's definitely going to affect it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my poems have been about Southern California, but it's been so long since I've lived there that it's kind of, you know, all viewed through this, you know, kind of perfect fog or something, you know. So I'm sure that will change once I get in the traffic and the concrete.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Misha Kaczynski-Erickson is my guest today on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and we are talking about her poetry. She is a graduate of the master's program in creative writing here at UC Davis, and she holds a BFA from University of Utah in studio art. Misha, let's hear a few more poems.
Okay. Gosh, no, they won't have to come tonight because I'll hear them all right here.
Okay.
I'm kidding. This is The Mill. Water rushes through the mill. Rotted boards break and float away. What release to never be able to fit back together. That was, I've been doing a lot of writing from looking at these paintings by Egon Schiele, I think is how you would pronounce it in German. That was from one of his paintings. I've been doing a lot of those, what do you call them, anaphrastic?
Ekphrastic
poems.
Right. Egon Schiele, he's particularly cool. When a lot of people grew tired of the ubiquitousness of Edvard Munch, many of those people who were too cool for Munch moved on to Egon Schiele. The same is true with Gustav Klimt.
Right.
You know that guy.
Right, because he worked with him, or he was his protege.
Was he?
Yeah. So there you go.
Excellent. And how would you characterize the art or the paintings or what how it is that they inspire you or speak to you as a poet?
I guess they because so many of them are of people, I think that it's really easy to see the emotion, to connect with them emotionally, especially because they're you know, pretty grotesque, and so it's I know it's maybe that makes them easier to connect with somehow. I don't know. I'm having trouble thinking about it, but they're just not the kind of pictures that you see every day. So they're kind of that it stops you and it makes you think about why someone would paint these things and what that could mean.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess people could ask similar questions of a poet. What compels you to write poetry? Why do you spend your time writing poetry? And I think mostly of people one meets on planes or happens to sit next to, where you're in a forced conversation with someone who you might never talk to otherwise. And sometimes we feel justified to, or we feel compelled to justify ourselves. How does one justify poetry, one might ask?
Well, I think it's like any other outlet that any person has. So some people, you know, play sports. Some people, you know, do art. Some people write. Some people, you know, I don't know, commit crimes.
Shoot guns, yeah.
Right. I think it's that you need that release somehow in your life, and poetry is just one way, you know, nonviolent way. Well, maybe I'm not doing that.
Right. At least people don't often get physically injured from poetry.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a that's one kind of nonviolence.
That's true.
All right. Misha Kaczynski-Erickson is my guest today on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We are going to hear a public service announcement about the Davis Wiki, which if you were listening last week, you might know that the organization behind Davis Wiki has been featured in the New York Times because the Knight Foundation has chosen them for a $350,000 grant to spread the good word about local wikis. So here's some information about local wikis and Davis Wiki. When we return, we'll hear another poem from Misha Kaczynski-Erickson and look forward to her reading tonight at 8 o'clock at Bistro 33 here in the city of Davis. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Curious? Bored? Hungry? Help is only a click away. DavisWiki.org is a community-driven online resource for all things Davis. From restaurants and cafes to local art galleries, current events, and much more. Anyone can contribute to the website without knowing anything about the web or HTML. Davis Wiki is completely free and is supported by volunteers and donations. If you are interested in leaving your mark on a fast-growing community resource in Davis, or simply want to learn more about our beautiful city, you may visit Davis Wiki at www.daviswiki.org. That's DAVISWIKI.ORG.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. You know, one person who's listening to this radio show is Whitey. And although I don't give out many shout-outs on this show, I'd like to give a big shout-out to one Mr. Whitey Erickson, who's going to be doing some shouting out himself tonight as part of a reading with himself and his wife at Bistro 33. Do you dare, Misha, to characterize what it is that Whitey does when he's on stage?
I don't think I could dare to summarize that. It's every man, every woman for themselves.
Right. But certainly everyone should see it at least once in their lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
That it's like having French toast or something. I don't know. It's fabulous.
Excellent.
Great experience.
So the experience of French toast. Literary style. That's tonight, one Mr. Chris Whitey Erickson at Bistro 33. Certainly it's true that people enjoy themselves loudly more at a Whitey production than they do at, say, a typical poetry reading.
Yes.
Like, you can hear evidence of the enjoyment all through the room.
Yes, people like it.
In the way that typically at a poetry reading, people will sigh meaningfully sometimes,
but not
laugh out loud and then continue to laugh and then remember something and then laugh again.
Yeah, it's quite a talent.
It is a talent, and it's one that we can promise you tonight if you show up to Bistro 33 at 8 o'clock for this great show. So, Misha, I wanted to ask you, you brought up something interesting with regard to Egon Schiele. Is that how you say his name?
Egon Schiele, I guess.
Schiele.
Trying to learn German. It's hard.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is there German in your background?
Well, yes, there is. My grandparents speak German at home. That's where my dad was born, in Germany.
Interesting.
My grandfather's Polish and my grandmother's Romanian, but they came here after the war, so there's lots of German.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got German ancestry as well. In fact, my grandmother told me, and I haven't had this independently confirmed by Ancestry.com, but my grandmother told me that on her side of the family, we are descendants of Schiele, but Schiller, the German poet. The Ode to Joy guy.
That's where you get it.
Yeah. So that must be where I get it. Let's do a quick check-in with Scott Evans. Scott, you have any German in you?
I have no German, mostly Welsh and English.
All right. I've got, unsurprisingly, I've got some Welsh in me as well, so we're probably distant cousins.
Huh.
Okay. great. And so, yes, but we were talking about Egon Schiele and how you were able to see the emotional connection of his, especially his portraits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, with the short poems that you were reading to us before, and which I very much enjoyed, where do you see the emotional impact there? Do you feel that, do you see these poems as suggesting emotion, as tempting or hinting at emotion? Do you see them as just outside or approaching emotion? Do you see them as holes, or do you feel that the listener has to do some of the work to kind of complete some sort of emotional truth or message that's communicated?
That's a good question. I think that's, well, I can't speak for every poet. I was going to say, I think that's the hope of every poet, is that their work connects emotionally with the reader. But it certainly is my hope. And, yes, that is what I'm trying to do. Although I'm not sure that, I think that with short poems, people often feel that it's not like a complete picture or something, or it's just like a slice or just a hint of something. Whereas I try and get the entire idea into the smallest amount of space possible. I think that's really the job of the poet, is to be as concise as possible and still get everything out there. I think that most people, or some poets, I should say, water down the emotion in their poems by going on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of words, and so it looks like maybe it should be heavier, but in fact, you know, there's a lot to wade through, stuff that could be cut that doesn't need to be there, stuff that, you know, I think it's a lot harder to hold that emotional space for a reader in a longer poem. That's what I feel. Some poets are able to do it, but I think that for the most part, there's just stuff that needs to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that every time I reread some of my poems, that I ask myself, do I really need this line?
Right.
But I think it also takes a certain kind of courage to write a short poem and to say, well, this is done, you know. And I'm wondering for you if it's an accretion process, if you start with something small and you build upon it, or is it a sculpting process where you start with something large and you kind of sculpt it down to the germ?
It depends on the poem, but I think that in general they used to be bigger, and I've lately been writing them smaller to start out with.
Uh-huh. So, great.
Yeah.
I want to hear one more poem, and after we hear it, I'd love to hear the names of a few poets who you would recommend to people.
Okay.
Some of your favorites or poets that you think are worth investigating.
Okay.
But first, what's the title of the poem you're going to read next?
This is Baby.
Okay.
Okay. Smoke, you hang quietly above us. It is only when we inhale that we even know you're there. The heat of you soon becomes too hot. There's nowhere to go. Flames spill out of your eyes. We hold you until we are consumed.
Oh, that's very nice.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Andy.
I like that.
Okay.
And tell me about some poets who you would recommend to listeners.
I really like Emily Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Celan. I like a lot of Elizabeth Bishop.
Yeah.
And Sylvia Plath. And those are my favorites.
Those are great.
Yeah.
Now, unlike Dickinson, Plath and Bishop have written some longer poems.
Yes.
They've been able to sustain a kind of emotional richness, and with Plath, a certain kind of emotional, like, horror or trepidation or yeah, or pity and fear. And I'm wondering what other sorts of lessons you've learned from poets who write poems that, at least on the face, look a lot different from the poems that you write.
Yeah, a lesson, I guess, would be to, because I envy sometimes the way they're able to hold that space for so much longer. They really do it so well. Like that one poem at the fish houses, I think,
right.
by Bishop. I love that one. I guess just to know your own strengths, that's something that I'm not good at right now. So I'm not, you know, maybe it'll happen in a poem someday, but, you know, I guess not to try and make my poem look like something just because I envy it.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Great. So, Misha Kozinski-Erickson, I'm looking forward to seeing you read tonight at Bistro 33. That should be a lot of fun. And that's at 8 o'clock at 226 F Street in the city of Davis. And she'll be reading with Chris Whitey-Erickson, famously of the KDVS fundraiser. And I'm looking forward to that. And I thank you again for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
I guess it's part of your farewell tour.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, thanks on behalf of Davis to for all the years that you've spent here and shared poetry with us. And I look forward to hearing stories of your success in Los Angeles.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. We're celebrating Art Tatum today, as well as great poetry. So stick around for another track from the classic early solos of the great blind piano player Art Tatum. This one of his most famous, is called Cocktails for Two, here on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. This is KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and I have an important message for you about cigarette smoking. Cigarette smoke was a theme in that last poem by Misha Kozinski-Erickson. But I'd like to say that cigarette smoke also releases harmful gases like carbon monoxide and hydrogen cyanide. These gases can be particularly harmful to babies and children whose bodies are still developing. When around others, especially children, make the effort to smoke outside. This makes smoking a cigarette your choice and does not subject others to harmful side effects. If it were me, Dr. Andy, I would say quit smoking altogether, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. Visit don'tpassgas.org for more information on the effects of secondhand smoke, a message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Thank you, Art Tatum, for that piano music. Scott Evans is my guest this afternoon. He's the editor of the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review, a Davis magazine that publishes fiction and poetry and in all genres, from serious fiction to murder mystery and even pirate stories. He teaches at the University of the Pacific, and his courses include a fiction writing workshop and one that introduces students to criminology from various perspectives. Entirely relevant because his murder mystery, Tragic Flaws, is now available, and he's finishing a second novel titled First Folio, a Da Vinci Code thriller that deals with the Shakespeare authorship question. The Blue Moon Literary and Art Review will be holding an event this Friday at the Avid Reader. And in addition to the Avid Reader, you can find the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review at a number of places in downtown Davis, including the John Itzulis Gallery and, I assume, Newsbeat.
Yes.
Excellent. Newsbeat. Scott Evans, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Andy.
Absolutely. So I mentioned at the end of your bio that there's going to be an event this coming Friday at the Avid Reader, which is the independent bookstore at 617 2nd Street, right across the street from the Varsity Theater, of which we were speaking earlier. What's going on Friday at the Avid Reader?
Yeah, the Avid Reader is one of the last remaining independent bookstores in town, so it's good to support them. We're celebrating the release of our fifth issue, the spring-summer 2010 issue. I'm particularly proud of this one. It has just some beautiful art. You have to admit, Andy, the cover on this one is just extraordinarily beautiful and so apropos for spring.
Absolutely.
The artist is Susan Raycroft, and we have several of her images throughout the edition, so if you love good art, you'll probably find this issue charming as well.
Let me ask you, when you were founding this review, why was it important to you to include art with the literary work that you're better known for and that you and I might be both better qualified to champion in a review?
Well, you know, I see a close link between visual art and written and spoken art. And so I wanted to showcase both the visual and the literary world in this magazine. Your last guest, I think, is a perfect example of somebody who is able to combine visual art with the written word. I'm reminded of William Blake. I took a course on Blake here at UCD, as a matter of fact. And you know, he illustrated his own poetry, and the fusion of his words and his art was magnificent.
That's great. Do you remember who taught that class?
Oh, now you're really testing my memory. I'm afraid I don't. Sorry.
We'll have the KDBS librarians check into that, and maybe they'll get back to us by the end of the show. Okay, good. So so you've given us some background on the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review. Who else is going to be at this event at the Avid Reader on Friday?
This is going to be one of the most richly attended events in terms of the poets and writers who are reading that we've ever had. To start us off, we're going to have the winner of the Jack Kerouac Poetry Contest, Sharon Campbell, who's studied great books at St. John's College and is doing doctoral work in social thought at the University of Chicago. Her poem, Little Boy Blue, is the first place winner in the contest, which you judge.
That's
and,
right.
You know, often I just completely agree with your choices of poetry, and this is you know, no exception. I just found this poem to be very beautiful and very moving, and you know, there's a very personal connection with the Blue Moon because it's about one of the young writers who suffered from depression and ended up taking his own life. And she writes about this very movingly in this poem. I'm going to be emceeing. I don't know if I'll have time to read any of my own work, but you mentioned the novel that I'm working on, the second novel in the series of literary murder mysteries. This book, First Folio, I've pretty much finished it. I put the finishing touches on it just today, as a matter of fact.
Good for you. What a great feeling.
Really proud of it. And I have a few agents who are interested in it. So hopefully by the end of the summer, I'll have a book contract and I'll be able to tell you where you'll be able to buy that. In addition to Sharon Campbell, we'll also have our friend Brad Henderson, also known as Bo Hamill, who teaches here at Davis. His work has appeared everywhere, and he has agreed to share a few of his poems with us. So, and he's always a fun poet to listen to.
Yeah, he's a dynamic character and a very important part of the Davis literary scene.
Absolutely. We'll also be including some poetry and other work by a very interesting guy named Ron Lane, whose photography is going to be featured in our fall-winter issue of the Blue Moon. He's quite a talented photographer. He's also quite a talented poet and writer. His poetry, over 50 of his poems and short stories have appeared in various journals, such as Diverse Voices Quarterly, Rose and Thorn, Rattlesnake Review. He's working on an interesting science fiction sort of fantasy novel in the writers group that I organize. So he's been sharing chapters of that over the last year or so and just finishing up that book. But he's also quite a talented and interesting poet. His poetry is often very lyrical. He chooses to deal with a lot of animals in his poetry. It's almost allegorical in the style and theme that he chooses.
He also writes a light verse that's often very funny and approachable.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, he usually gets a big boisterous laugh from the crowd. We'll also be listening to Stacia Levy, who lives in Sacramento, but she teaches both here at UCD and at my university, University of the Pacific. Her short story, Father, won honorable mention in the Writer's Digest annual popular fiction contest. And she's quite a good short story writer, and she's working on an interesting novel. So it'll be fun to hear from her. We'll also have the assistant editor of the Blue Moon, Adam Russ, reading with us. He's a very interesting character. He worked as a Peace Corps volunteer, as an economist, also as a high school math teacher. His young adult's fiction novel is being shopped around right now, and he has had a number of short stories published in various magazines, winning awards from the Writer's Digest, the Baltimore Review, New Millennium Writings. Quite an interesting young man. And also, finally, we'll hear from Michelle Woods, who received her master's in creative writing from Cal State Sacramento. Her work has been published in the Sacramento News and Review. She's working on a novel titled What Is That Black Girl Doing Here? And she lives here in Davis with her two children.
When you, it's a wonderful lineup, and I look forward to hearing all those people on Friday. When you speak of Adam Russ coming on at the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review as an assistant editor, I know that he's infused lots of energy into this project and support. How have you seen the Blue Moon grow or evolve with his contributions?
You know, my discussion about Andy's or Adam's contribution fits perfectly with Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, because I brought Adam in as assistant editor around the same time that our free website was running out and we had to build a new website. And he and I sat down at my computer one day and constructed the website. And he's pretty much the webmaster now. He does most of the changes and additions. If you visit the Blue Moon website, let me plug it for you real fast.
Yeah, feel free.
www.bluemoonlitartreview.com. You will see that it's very detailed, very layered. I think it's a very interesting website, webpage. So if you get a chance, play around on the website, look at all the different tabs, and you'll see that there's really a lot going on with the Blue Moon writers. So his contribution was to help us build that and to maintain it and help it to grow.
You're right. It looks like a great site. I'm really glad that you took him on to help with that. Again, it's the website for the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review is bluemoonlitartreview.com. And you will see that it is a visually rich site, which is entirely appropriate because of the rich visual quality of the journal itself, as well as the colorful elements of all the characters who you keep publishing there and who I enjoy meeting at your events, including the event this coming Friday night at the Avid Reader. If you're just joining us, the Avid Reader is the foremost independent bookstore in the city of Davis. As I say that, I should also say that I'm also a fan of Logos Books, which is a new bookstore on 2nd Street, across the street from Mishka's Cafe, between D and E Streets, and also Sweetbriar Books. Is that the name of that bookstore?
Yeah, Sweetbriar. I think they specialize mostly in used books.
Absolutely. And you'll find them off of G Street between 6th and 7th here in the city of Davis. So we've got some great independent bookstores, but I think most people think of the Avid Reader as the one with the greatest selection and the one that offers the greatest number of events, including an event this coming Friday evening at 7:30, 617 2nd Street, with all of the authors whose names you heard earlier. That's wonderful. Scott Evans, we're going to take a quick musical break here, an important public service announcement, and then when we return, I'm hoping that you've got something to share with us, a story, an anecdote, a reading, whatever it is you've been hatching over there, we want to hear it. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, Sacramento, Davis. While we're talking about the Avid Reader, Scott, I should bring your attention to another event that's coming up later this month, and that is on July 19th at 7:30. James Kalin, who's been on this radio show 3 or 4 times, will be coming to town as part of his book tour. Now, this is a very atypical book tour in that it's part of the Zero Emission Book Project. This past Saturday night, the 3rd of July, James Kalin had a book event Saturday night, and then Sunday, on the 4th of July, he declared his independence from vehicles that give off emissions. He mounted his bike, and he started bicycling north. And this book tour is going to take him all the way up to Vancouver, Washington.
Wow.
Can you imagine? And Poets and Writers magazine got wind of this, and that's why you'll see a big picture of James Kalin with his shirt open and his colorful tattoo prominently displayed on the cover of Poets and Writers magazine. He will be stopping in Davis as part of this book tour on July 19th at 7:30 to give a reading at the Avid Reader. If you want to find out more about this, you can visit poetryindavis.com. Or Flatman Crooked. Flatman Crooked is the publisher that is publishing James Kalin's latest book. It's called We're Getting On. Well, we're getting on towards the end of the show, so let me say that Scott Evans is here. He's the editor of the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review. And why don't you put the headphones on, Scott, and you'll be able to see who this caller is. We'll hear from this person really quick. Hi, caller. Welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Whoa. What was the name of the poet that was reading earlier? Misha?
Yeah, Misha Kuczynski Erickson. And I'll gladly spell that for you. Misha is M-I-S-C-H-A. Kuczynski is K-U-C-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. And then Erickson, as you'd expect, is E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. And she'll be reading tonight at Bistro 33's Poetry Night.
Does she have a website?
I don't know that she does, but if you drop me an email at aojones@gmail.com, or if you go to Poetry and Davis and find me through that website, I'll let you know where you can find out more about her on the web.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening. All right, Scott, we've got a couple minutes left. What would you like to sample for us?
Well, I just want to remind people that at the reading at the Avid Reader, we will have wine, some very nice red wine. I have too much red wine, so I've got to get rid of some of that.
Sure.
Crackers and cheese.
I'm glad people will help you with that.
Good. And I do have a short poem by a writer named Jade Blackmore titled Tarantula in the Desert. And I think we can squeeze it in.
I think we can, too. Let's hear it.
Out in the sun, out of nowhere, a glint of diamond masquerading as carbon, till time and earth shape it into the embodiment of charm. What does it mean to climb a mountain or conquer the world if you have no one to share it with? To look like sweet fervor upon your life. I'm sorry, to look with sweet fervor upon your life. To be there in spirit as well as flesh. To live with someone, not against them or in spite of them, but with them. To immerse yourself in the present with an ally. To feel the same emotions and cry the same tears just for one moment or forever. To sit cozy, telekinetic, not wanting or needing anything, just being, watching a tarantula crawl across the sand or sighing together at the pagan sky with or without touch. Simple things yield the most pleasure.
Oh, that's very nice. Tell me again the title of that poem.
This poem is Tarantula in the Desert by Jade Blackmore, who lives in Los Angeles.
And this is one of the many poems that you can find in the most recent edition of the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review, edited by my guest, Scott Evans. Scott, I'm really looking forward to this event this coming Friday night. We even have a babysitter.
Oh, great. Well, I'm looking forward to having you there.
Excellent. Thanks very much for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'd like to thank all of you as well for coming on, for listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour this afternoon. I am soon headed off to Bistro 33 myself because I'm looking forward to hearing Misha Kuczynski Erickson and her husband, Chris Whitey Erickson, read their poetry. That's tonight at 8 o'clock at Bistro 33, 226 F Street, here in the city of Davis. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to poetryanddavis.com. I'd also like to thank my guest, Scott Evans. He's the editor of the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review, which you can find in locations all over Davis, as well as bluemoonlitartreview.com. He teaches at University of the Pacific. But this coming Friday, he'll be emceeing an event that features a great number of the authors whose work you can find in the most recent edition of this local literary gem and journal. My name is Andy Jones. Next week, I'm going to have on this radio show some representatives of the International Poetry Reading that's going to happen at the iHouse, the International House, a week from Saturday. I guess that'll be the 17th of July. We'll hear more about that then. Meanwhile, you have many opportunities to celebrate creativity, poetry, and other forms of artistic expression. I hope that you do what you can to support local writers, authors, and artists and become one yourself. My name is Andy Jones, and I look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you then.